God bless all of you who have called in. We've got a room full here. Everybody on three, say God bless you guys. One, two, three.
God bless you.
There's a confirmation. Before I get into tonight's sharing, and we heard a little bit about it in the manifestations, there's something that's been going on, and you guys have been aware of that, that this and that thing matters, right? I've seen a commercial that this particular insurance matters, or this particular style of doing something matters, and other things. God bless them all. They have valid points, and I understand. But it caused me to think, what really matters in life, you know? So if I had a bumper sticker, this is what it would say. Getting born again matters. Amen?
Amen.
Getting born again matters, because that supersedes everything, right? And then the other thing I wanted to share with you real quick is a testimony that shows my God listens to our prayers when we need help. There's a middle school about four blocks from here that we take Thor, our Siberian Husky, to let him loose and let him fly like an eagle, because he'll take off if you let him. But this place has a football field of grass, asphalt, clay dirt, and he loves it. So there was a night that I took him about 2 weeks ago, and my lovely wife, Shanti, couldn't join me, so I said, I'm taking him anyway, because you know he likes to do this. So in the process, he's running around and stuff like that. I see a young lady, probably in her early 20s, and she's walking around. It's starting to get dusk, you know, and she's yelling out a name, but she's so far from me, I couldn't understand what she was saying. But it sounds to me like she's looking for something, maybe another dog. So as I was leaving, she was leaving, but she was like 25 yards in front of me. And I hollered out to her, excuse me. She turned around and I said, did you lose something? She goes, yeah, my dog. He's 9 months old, and he got out, and I've never had him loose like this before. I said, oh, okay. So when I was talking to her, she had stopped, and I finally got face to face with her. She had all these tears streaming down her face because it broke her heart. And so I told her, you know what? The best thing I know how to do for a situation is to pray. I said, how would you like me to pray? She goes, oh, please, would you? I said, absolutely. Her name is Melani. And so I said, okay, Melani, let's get peaceful here, and I'm going to pray for your lost dog. So I prayed, and when all was done, she hugged me and stuff, and she still had a few tears running down her face. She goes, thank you so much for that. I said, but remember, you got to keep focused on God taking care of you and your dog. It's not just my prayer. You have to talk to the Father. It's available. She goes, yes, yes, you're right. So I left. I said, don't worry. I know. I don't think, maybe, I know everything will be fine. So I left. Well, the next night, Shanti and I are up there, and we see a lady that goes into the house where she's from, and I asked her, did they find the dog? She goes, no. I said, okay. So what did I do? I kept on praying. That's what we do. Wait on the Lord. So another day or two went by, and we're going up to the school again, and lo and behold, Melani was out front coming to our house. Well, she sees me, and she says, oh, the almost turning cart goes, thank you for your prayer. Thank you for your prayer. I said, you found your dog? She goes, no, someone brought him to me. Talk about valet service. Thank you, Lord. So the point being is, we know prayer works. So she was ecstatic that someone brought the dog to her. So I thought I'd share that testimony with you. And kudos and glory to God.
Amen.
All right. We heard a little bit, like I said, what I wanted to share about tonight, and I would like to talk about a key factor in making decisions, our believing, and our actions. This is so, so vital, and I know we do it, but we need to keep focused on it, and that is our heart. We heard it in the manifestation, okay? So, my sharing is simply heart to heart. Our heart to God, God's heart to us. For God so what? Loved the world that he gave, that was generated by his heart for us, right? The biggest anything we can share with the Father and with each other is our hearts. Is our hearts. As in times of sorrow, in times of joy, in times of ministry, and in just the very act of giving. It should be always from the heart. Not because it's time to do it, or maybe it look make me look good. No, it's because your heart says this is what you should do. Not to mention, it's our lifeline with the one true God, right? Mm-hmm. Our heart is our lifeline with the one true God. What are we doing with all this is the question. What are we doing with this? With our decisions, with our ministering, with our relationships with one another. I trust that your heart is behind that. Hmm? With his heart, Jesus Christ has shown us what God has made us to be and has given us, and that is a lively hope. A lively hope. All from his, God's heart, to ours. Plain and simple. What I'm going to share with you tonight is about this, and for lack of another way to put it, Barney helped me with this the other day because we were talking about the physical heart and the inner heart, the inward man. So when I say the inner heart, that's what I'm talking about. Okay? First, we all need a physical heart for our flesh life, right? We need that blood to get pumped through and all the other good stuff. But the heart I would like to share on is, again, the inner heart. We use to believing the things of God and when we give. Not grudgingly, but with a cheerful what?
Heart.
Heart. We know these things, but we need to act on them. It's with this inner heart we communicate with our Abba Father. You see, God created the physical heart for our breath life, right? When you were born, boom, your heart starts going and off you go. Now, when it comes to the spiritual things, such as the hope, I trust it's with our hearts. How many people see people doing this out in public? This guy at work, he's always doing it to me, but he's a believer, so I take it in as that inner heart. So I throw him one, then he makes a bigger one, then I make a bigger one. He's a character, but he's a wonderful man. Now, when it comes to spiritual things such as the hope, I trust it's with our hearts. Our physical heart pumps life through our physical bodies. And our inner heart pumps us up in our spiritual lives. I'll say that one more time. Our physical heart pumps life into our physical bodies. But our spiritual heart pumps us up in our spiritual lives. Right? And that's what God intended it to do. It is the starting point of our believing. You know, God's word declares that we are to keep his word in the midst of our neck, in the midst of our leg, in the midst of our gut. Who can help me out here? In the midst of our what? Our heart. Why is that? Because that's where we're motivated. That's where the true you comes from. You can say something with this and be trying to hide it inside, but you know what? Being full of God, he's looking at your hearts. And I want him to. And this is required to believe the spiritual realities God gives you and I. Okay? Now, we're going to look at a verse that you're all familiar with, but there's something in the verse or verses that caught my attention. And for this, I need you all, and I'm like I said, you all probably could have it memorized. Go to Romans 10:9. Please. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy what?
Heart.
That God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the what?
Heart.
Man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Why else would God have that in his word? Because when we do these confessing and stuff, he doesn't want it from your, oh, I think I'm going to sound nice today. He wants it from your heart because that's what he's looking at. Also, when God, our Abba Father, looks at us, again, he hears us and he looks at our hearts, both. That's what he does. He's into looking at the inside of you. You can have a bad hair day or put on the wrong shoes. I don't care. But God's not looking at that. It doesn't matter. He's looking at our hearts. I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 29:13, please. I'll show you something else pretty neat. Jeremiah 29:13. Remember, When I read something from words, it ain't my words, they're God's. Jeremiah 29:13 reads, "And you shall seek me, God, and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." See? God's not hiding behind trees saying, "Okay, come find me, see if you can find me." No. The prerequisite is that you search for him and seek him with not half, not 99, but all your heart. And you know what? He's there. He is there. It's amazing how people have asked me over the years, how do I know God's talking to me, or how do I talk to God? I say, well, the first thing is, make sure your heart is alive. Make sure your inner heart is working. And I have to explain that one to him. And you'll be fine. God's going to be hearing you. Now, you don't have to go to these verses, but some of the names God calls the heart is given in his word, such as an evil heart. Genesis 6:5. Yeah, we've all had that. 6:5. A good heart. Luke 8:15. A merry heart. Proverbs 17:22. Also, a perfect heart. 1 Kings 8:60 and 61. The word heart is used some 765 times in the word. So, here are some familiar heart verses. These we can go to. And the first one, I want you to please go to 1 Samuel 16:17. 1 Samuel 16:17. I'm sorry, is it 16:17? Mm-hmm. I think it's 16:7. Hold on one second. Yeah, it's 1 Samuel 16:7. Get rid of the one. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance." As a matter of fact, you know what? Let me back up. I'm going to read this out of the NLT. It does a pretty neat job. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." How many times does God have to tell us that? That's where he's looking at us when he does. If your hair happens to lay right that day, hallelujah. But it's still going to be your heart, okay? Go to Luke 24:32. And I asked myself this question after we read the verse here. And they said one to another, these are two walking to a man, one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he," Jesus, "talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" If you ever get an opportunity when you're by yourself, like me, when I'm driving to work, well, how will your heart react if all of a sudden Jesus popped up on the driver's the passenger side of my car? I might swerve. I'm not gonna lie. I probably would swerve a little bit. I might even hit the blinkers. I don't know. Emergency flashers, that'd be a good one. But I'm telling you, my heart would be burning too, and I'd say, "Oh my goodness." No, I would say, "Oh my God." I'm not God. I'm a son. I mean, Jesus Christ. But yeah, just think about that for a moment. Proverbs 4:23, please. Proverbs 4:23. Another familiar heart verse. It says, "Keep or guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We all have issues and tissues from our hearts and life, right? But God says to guard them. Why? Because he doesn't want you to retain the junk in the world. Or that evil heart, he doesn't want that. He wants the good things. So we got to guard our hearts. We just can't believe everything we hear or read, right? When it comes to God, Almighty God and Jesus Christ, yes, we're on board. We're on board. How about Matthew 6:21? Matthew 6:21, please. Matthew This is Jesus Christ talking. And it's so true. It is so true. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. All the good stuff in life that you have, and I'm talking about materialistic things here for just a brief second. All the stuff you really, really like, your heart, you say, oh man, yeah, I wanted this, but this is my stash, right? And the stuff you don't like, who cares? Oh, it broke, big deal. I didn't really want it, you know? But your treasure and heart are going to be unified in those things. Well, more so when it comes to the reality and spirituality of what God tells us. He shows us in His Word. He says, where your treasure is, there is where your heart's going to be also. So, it's not far-fetched to know that the two work hand in hand. And for a reason, because God knows our hearts. Okay? The heart is truly the barometer in our lives, measuring our thoughts, beliefs, and actions. Both of our hearts are vital. We need them both, right? But the inner heart carries us throughout all eternity and is the centerpiece of a compassionate and functioning body. Your heart is the centerpiece of a compassionate and functioning body. When you pray for people, like we did a moment ago, when you're praying, you know your heart's in there. Say, Father, we need help. This person needs help. You know what God is saying? I've been looking at your heart. And when you pray, I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you. I'm going to show you what I can do, the Almighty God, who's created the heavens and this earth. He's given us nothing but, Bob and I were talking about this the other day, the word good. I did a sharing on the adjective, the word good. God uses that a lot in His Word because it's good enough. That word is good enough. And if it's good enough for God, guess who's good enough for? You and I. Right? Let's look at a verse we're all familiar with and see how the heart comes into play. And for that, I need you to turn to Hebrews 4:12. Thank you for bearing with Thor. Hebrews 4:12. He just wants to see you guys. And this verse, I've read it many, many times, but this one particular time, putting this sharing together, a word in this verse caught my attention, and we'll look at it here in a minute. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word that stuck out the last time I read this was the word intent. I said, huh, I never. And so I said, I'm going to work this word. This word intent is saying that what are the intentions, the full length of the word, what are the intentions of our heart and the desires, aim, ideas. So what is one's heart focusing on? I read another definition of this intent. It says, what are you bent on? What are you bent on? That means you're really, this is my intention. This is what's going to happen, right? The point being is that the heart is, again, the seat of the inner man. And this is why God talks about looking on the heart. There are so many other verses of Scripture that we can talk about when it comes to the inner man's heart. And we just don't have time to see them all. So I encourage everyone to look at the places in God's beautiful Word to see how they're used. And you're going to be blown away, and you're going to be on a wonderful journey as you go through His Word, looking at how heart is used when it comes to the inner heart. I wanted to close in Psalms 33, if you would. And I'm going to skip a few verses, but let's just start off in Psalms. Oh, Joe, what am I doing? Psalms 33, verse 1. It says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and just for the record, you guys are righteous. For praise is comely for the upright. In other words, if praise were close, you'd be looking dialed in. Your tailor would have it fit to the T. You look comely, you look great with the praise that we give God. Praise the Lord with the heart, sing with Him, sing unto Him with the psaltery. and an instrument of 10 strings, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of his good. There it is, goodness, full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. We've heard that before. God spoke things into being. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap, or just locked everything in. He laid up the depth in the storehouses. Let all the earth reverence the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. And we should. When you go outside and look at the sky and the mountains or the ocean, if you live in Point Loma or other places on the coast, be in awe. All that God put together. Not only did he didn't just fill up a hole with water, he put beautiful creatures in there that we could both put on our dinner table or that you can just simply enjoy. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth counsel. So let's go down to verse 12. Bless the nation whose God is the Lord. The last time I checked, that's on this nation that started. Okay. And the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. We are God's inheritance. He's chosen us. We've heard before, we are his elect. When God went to the ballot, there was only one name in there. It was yours. God said, boom, I'm punching this ticket. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. He's looking at you. He's looking at your hearts. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He made their hearts, so he understands everything we do. Verse 16, there is no king saved by the multitude of a host, or a mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Go down to verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that reverence him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him. Amen. Because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. So, again, it's a heart-to-heart life we live. We have to do things with our physical bodies. We have to go to jobs and do this chore and that chore. But through it all, you can speak in tongues to God. And when you're doing that, I trust it's with your heart. Because that's what God wants to see. He wants to see your heart being very, very vibrant with him. That's our Father's desire for us. And it should be our desire for him. Amen?
Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for reminding us about the heart you've given us, Father, from the very beginning. Yes, we have other limbs and organs in our body, but truly what really matters is the heart thoughts we have, the desires in our heart, the aim we make, and the things we focus on when it comes to you, Father, and each other. So help us, Father, to live a greater, larger heart life for you and for everyone in this room and for strangers alike. And it's in Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.